This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Thousands of Germans gathered in mid-June of this year, circling the U.S.'s largest foreign airbase to protest America's drone wars. Ramstein Air Base is the U.S.'s most important center of war operations in Europe. It serves as a coordination point for drone operations in Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. The airbase is so massive that it houses its own shopping mall, fire station, police force, fitness center, flea market, and even used car lot. All of which says that at Ramstein Airbase, people are prepared for war to never end. My guest is Norman Solomon. He's a journalist with ExposeFacts.org, which is a project of the Institute for Public Accuracy, where he is the executive director. Norman is also the author of War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death, and the co-founder of RootsAction.org. On Wednesday of this week, his article about Ramstein will be published in The Nation magazine. Welcome to the program, Norman.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, tell us what took you to Ramstein Air Base. How did you think to cover this as a story? It's an extensive article. And how did you even make it inside?
Well, I've been working on war and military issues for decades, and I realized about a year ago that I knew nothing or almost nothing about the Ramstein Air Base in southwest Germany. And when I began to learn about just how central it is to U.S. war operations, not only drones, but the entire effort to provide the war ammunition, material, supplies for the far-flung U.S. military operations in many countries on several continents, I realized, hey, if I'm ignorant about this, probably most people are in the United States as well. So I began to plan for a full month in southwest Germany to understand what the Ramstein Air Base is. And with an assignment from The Nation magazine, I was able to get on the base and conduct a lot of interviews on the property of the U.S. government, as well as in the communities around it.
So you actually were able to get in. Is it open to civilians and journalists?
It's generally closed to everybody except those who have explicit permission to get on, which is to say several thousand what they call airmen, although that includes women, and civilian employees, many military folks, primarily U.S. in uniform. And so it's very secretive, and yet it's so huge that there's a lot of information available if you start poking around.
So what exactly, we said besides drones, it does provide ammunition and other materials. So is this basically a jumping off point for when the U.S. flies its air war over, say, Iraq or Syria, do airplanes, do jets, fighter jets take off from Ramstein?
I came to think of the Ramstein Air Base as the hub, the most important location overseas for the U.S. so-called war on terror. The actual bombers and fighter jets don't take off and land at the Ramstein Air Base. What the air base does is serve as a sort of grand central station for all the supplies, all the material for so much of the war from Pakistan and Afghanistan to the Middle East to North Africa. And as well, it's a base for building up supplies and ammunition and so forth for confrontation with Russia. So as one of the military officers told me at Ramstein, we touch 100 countries and more from this air base in terms of supplies. And then there, of course, is the role of drones, where Ramstein is the central relay point for signals to make it possible for the U.S. military, including so-called pilots from Nevada in the United States, to actually scope, sensor, and fire missiles halfway across the earth.
So Norman, I understand that there's actually an undersea cable that connects Ramstein in Germany all the way to Nevada, where the airbase there actually has drone operators?
Well, the problem and the challenge for the Pentagon is that they're killing people, engaging in extrajudicial murders, you might say, targeted assassination is part of the jargon, in very rugged terrain, in Africa, where there are hardly any roads in many cases, in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Yemen, and there's no way to send signals back and forth between command centers and the drone pilots in the United States from those locations. So there first has to be a signal from the drone to a satellite, and then the satellite or the airborne aircraft of some sort, but usually satellite, will send the signal via satellite to Ramstein. But once you get to Ramstein, Western Europe is wired with fiber optic cable, and that's split seconds. So it's the difference between several seconds between, say, Pakistan and Germany, and then a split second from Germany through fiber optics to Nevada. And that is one of the attractive things about having this whole operation in a very heavily technologized area such as Germany.
Now, doesn't this make Germany complicit, the government of Germany complicit in the US's drone wars? And is that part of the reason why thousands, 5,000 to 7,000 Germans in mid-June surrounded the airbase, Ramstein airbase, and were protesting and demanding it be shut down?
Yes, just a few weeks ago, a really unprecedented demonstration of several thousand Germans at the Ramstein base, calling for an end, at the very least, of its drone war activities, if not closure. And the German government has a don't ask, don't tell policy, a claim, an eager claim from the Angela Merkel government of ignorance. The stance of the German federal government is, we don't know what's going on at the Ramstein base in terms of drone activity and so forth. We also don't know what's going on at the AFRICOM base, the U.S. Africa Command, which is based just a couple of hours' drive away in Stuttgart, Germany. And between the lines, we don't want to know, as the German government. There is an opposition. The left party is 10% of the Bundestag in Germany. Some of the Green Party, also 10%, very angry and upset that the German government is complicit in this activity, not only, I should say, for the drone war, but just think about how Germany is a place where a lot of the pilots are training in Bavaria for the US military. Also, Ramstein is a place where we have a tremendous amount of cargo shipments. You could not operate the US wars in many countries without Ramstein just ferrying and flying tremendous quantities of ammunition and materiel, and paratroopers. I went on a C-130J airplane, one of 14 based at Ramstein, and the pilot very proudly told me that you can have huge quantities of ammunition and other material. Those planes are flying into Africa on a regular basis. Sometimes one circuit will take the plane to four different countries where not only materiel, but up to 92 US paratroopers from the Army can be dropped. So it's really a central place for the US war to really have military dominance in a lot of the world.
Tell us how the airbase itself is set up. There are some very sort of mundane aspects of it that, and kind of a recreation of American culture at Ramstein that you point out in your article, in a way just normalizes this idea that we're going to be at war indefinitely. I mean, there's a shopping mall, a used car lot.
Yes, I came to think of the Southwest Germany region as a kind of a distant mirror for U.S. normalization of what Martin Luther King Jr. called the madness of militarism. You have an entire region that is economically hooked into now perpetual war. And I was surprised to learn that, according to the Pentagon, that area around Ramstein is the largest concentration of Americans, what they call an American community, outside of the United States. So you have 57,000 Americans now, military and civilian and dependents, right around Ramstein and a dozen other US Air Force and Army bases. And as you mentioned, it's called Little America for a reason. It replicates from shopping malls to all sorts of other accoutrements and services. And it's a way in which the Pentagon has tried to make U.S. military folks and their families comfortable. You can stay in your bubble, you can go there, you can wage war, you can have the usual brands and shopping malls and all the rest of it around you. And there's so many layers in which the Ramstein Air Base needs to be learned about by us Americans who are paying the bill. As I say in this piece just being published on the Nation magazine website, the Ramstein Air Base has everything from the United States that it could possibly want, but it doesn't have scrutiny. And it's up to us to scrutinize what's going on at the Ramstein Air Base, because it really is an embodiment of perpetual war that the president says he doesn't want, but is actually pursuing with a vengeance.
And it was on Friday that President Obama, at the end of a day, end of the week, right before a long weekend, holiday weekend, that President Obama released a report on the number of people that the U.S. has killed, number of civilians the U.S. has killed in its drone war since 2009 in a select number of countries. But Ramstein doesn't like being associated with the drone war, right? I mean, this is sort of only newly revealed to the public at large that this giant airbase is a major center and player in the vast network that is part of the drone war.
Yes, the Der Spiegel magazine in Germany, and collaborating with The Intercept and the reporter Jeremy Scahill and others, really broke that story and provided more information, well over a year ago. And we have now information in spite of the US and German governments. When you look through the tons of PR material about the Ramstein Air Base coming out of the Pentagon, they don't really talk about the drone role. You have 500 plus people in a special air command center, air and space center as they call it. And they're really central to the global drone war being conducted by the United States. And yet there's a perpetual claim of ignorance from the German government or innocence from the US government. You can't operate this drone war without what Ramstein is doing. And yet that involvement is really hidden, or at least downplayed to an extreme degree.
So this infrastructure is pretty set in stone. I mean, the shopping mall, the fitness center, etc. This essentially is an airbase that can serve a war without end, that has the capability, the infrastructure, the traffic that it can handle through it in order to basically have a war without end. And yet we hear from President Obama that he wants to wrap up the war, that we can't be at war endlessly. But it doesn't seem as though his actions speak as loud as his words. What are the prospects for Ramstein to face enough opposition from the public that the U.S. might have to consider closing down such an airbase? Or is that even out of the realm of possibility because it's so well established?
Well, as Antonio Gramsci said long ago, you know, pessimism of the intellect, optimism of the will, it's certainly a very long shot. I talked to activists at the Stop Ramstein campaign office in Berlin.
An actual organization founded just that's focused on Ramstein in Germany?
Right. There are coalitions of groups, not only for the demonstrations happening there, but for long-term campaigns. And I should mention that at rootsaction.org, which I'm part of here in the United States, we have a petition going. You can find it on our website in the next day or so, for closure of the Ramstein base. What the activists in Germany who I spoke with told me is they do not believe that the United States government will ever voluntarily close the Ramstein Air Base. They believe that the only way it could possibly be closed is by the German government saying, you're out of here, you've overstayed your welcome, and it's time to close. Even that is a very much long shot, because we should keep in mind that of all the 800 U.S. military bases around the world outside the U.S., most of all, they're in Germany. You know, at last count, approximately 170. What are 170 military bases doing in Germany? It's because Germany is so central to the war machinery of the United States in collaboration with the German government itself.
So, Norman, how important is it for Americans to know about this? So clearly Germans seem to be doing their bit, but this is an American airbase. And as you said, there just isn't enough information by Americans or for Americans about this. And I'm sure your article in The Nation will go a long way towards addressing that. But do anti-war activists in the United States need to start a concerted campaign aimed at Ramstein?
Well, I think it's very important. You know, in September, there will be whistleblowers and others from the United States carrying the RootsAction.org petition to Berlin to urge the German government to close the Ramstein Air Base. This is a long, long climb. When we think of so much social change that at first seemed impossible, but then became a reality through organizing and education and agitation, certainly closing the Ramstein Air Base as the hub for the so-called war on terror comes into that category of very, very difficult to imagine. And yet we've got to imagine if we're going to create the kind of change that's necessary.
And also Ramstein, of course, isn't the only air base outside the United States. How do you view this air base globally within the sort of network of air bases that the US has around the world?
I think that's an important way to look at it because, for instance, the amount of publicity and some pressure that has been brought to bear against the Ramstein Air Base's role in the drone war has caused a political climate in Germany that is much less hospitable than it had been. Polling says that two-thirds of Germans are against the U.S. drone war around the world, and the German role in the drone air war therefore becomes, you know, more and more disturbing to people in that country as they learn about how they're hosting this really awful, deadly activity. So as I report in this article at thenation.com, Italy is now a place where the US government is proceeding to build a parallel center for relay of drone signals in Sicily. And it appears that in a couple of years, that center at the Signola Naval Base in Sicily will be up and running. And so if the heat gets too big in Germany, the Pentagon may well simply shift their drone relay operations to Italy. As a matter of fact, Italy is in a sense a floating aircraft carrier for the U.S. air war around the world and U.S. militarism. And it just shows to go you, as the saying goes, that we've got to see U.S. militarism in a global context where country after country, whether they've been defeated during the World War II, as in the case of Germany, Italy, and Japan, or other nations, they've been bribed and cajoled and occupied to host 800 U.S. military bases around the world. And I would leave us with this thought, which sort of blows my mind. You know, we hear about the Chinese threat and the Russian threat in U.S. mass media, and yet compare 800 U.S. military bases overseas around the world with the total of all military bases overseas out of other countries around the planet. That number is a grand total of 40.
Wow.
So how can the U.S. government have 800 military bases around the planet and every other country in the world added up has a total of a few dozen military bases outside their own country? It really tells us a lot about the extent to which the Pentagon and the U.S. government are eager and willing and able to exert their power militarily to dominate and threaten people around the planet.
And meanwhile, of course, we're told there's not enough money for schools and other programs and Social Security and single payer healthcare, et cetera.
Well, Norm... absolutely. I just got to say that when I got on a C-130J airplane, and there's 14 of them, and then I did the math, that's a couple of billion with a B, $2 billion being spent on these airplanes that are on the runway at Ramstein, where I come home and there's not enough money for healthcare, education, housing, prenatal care, senior care. This is really the tragedy and the crime that's being committed every day by militarism in the United States.
Well, Norman, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we will post a link to The Nation magazine's website where people can read your piece. It's being published Wednesday, July 6th. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
Norman Solomon is a journalist with ExposeFacts.org, which is a project of the Institute for Public Accuracy, where he's the executive director. He's written several books, including War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. He's also a co-founder of Roots Action. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.